Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris, and with me, as always, is my co-host, RJ Sines.
Woof.
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and if you could be any soda, what would you be?
What would you be, Benjamin?
I think I would be, like, the Mexican pure sugar Coke.
That makes sense.
Just a lot of energy.
That's great. I'd be empty inside.
That's a new brand I haven't heard of.
Just a crumpled up can thrown down a dumpster trail somewhere in the east side of the Bronx.
Recycled into a dog bowl.
Recycled into a dog bowl. I'd like to think I'd be recycled for a hearing aid for a child in need.
You always believe in causes. Today,
shame on you and your causes.
Today we are going to be talking about Saturday Night Live.
It's Saturday Night Live.
We have guest host Don Pardo here with us.
Don Pardo
saying his own name like he
names.
Does. Hey, that's an impressive impersonation we forgot about.
Yeah, that's one we forgot from last week. Also, it's not that far off from my Adam West.
Adam West.
It's just lower.
Adam West, Adam West. I don't trust anyone here. But I'm Don Pardo.
It's crazy.
It's just higher pitch. That's so good. Okay, well, yeah, Saturday Night Live is going to be fun stuff. 1975 never looked so good. RJ, before we do all that.
Ooh, girl. What's up?
Do you have any comedy news?
No, I don't. Psych! We got some
big
news.
Whoa, you psyched me out.
Yeah, I couldn't keep that psych going any longer. This is the opposite of a psych. This is David S. Pumpkins.
Oh!
David S. Pumpkins!
It's time for Ben's Wacky... No, just kidding.
That's so good.
So, Benjamin and folks at home... Children, listen up. David S. Pumpkins
is coming to your neighborhood town.
So almost. There's going to be an animated Halloween special that will air on NBC Sunday, October 28th, featuring Tom Hanks' beloved character from last season. Any questions?
Any questions?
No, I have so many questions. Why does that need to happen? Why is it animated? Bobby Moynihan isn't in the cast anymore. How are you going to get him there? Is he getting paid to do this? Is he doing it out of his own free will?
He's not in the SNL cast?
No. B. Moyne's gone.
I love B. Moyne.
I know. Pumpkins and his skeleton sidekicks will show a young boy and his sister the true meaning of Halloween, answering none of their questions.
Questions? That's so ridiculous.
I get the popularity of the bit.
I want to get a look at it.
Like, that was so popular and trendy when it came out last Halloween.
Yeah.
I just want to see it again. Like, I don't care for animated Casper the Friendly Ghost version of this.
Well, it's just voices, you know, so they're going to be able to get all the people.
Okay, but right, let's talk about this. Let's break this down. What's the bit of David S. Pumpkins, the sketch? What's the bit?
Okay, you're asking me, why is that sketch funny?
What does it work? How does it work?
Because it's the surprise of, you think this is going to be this elevator seeing all these different real scary things, and then David S. Pumpkin comes up, which is just a confusing thing. It's not scary.
It doesn't make any sense. He has any questions. Everyone has lots of questions, and they keep throwing at him with, like, weird music and, like, dancing skeletons who he spanks really hard, and it's, like, ridiculous and silly, and I love it. And that's funny, and they keep doing it. So now it needs to be an animated thing? Like, how does that work on that level? Like, it's just a sketch. How do you... I don't know, guys. My hesitation flags are going up all over the place.
Oh, dude, I'm in. I think it's really funny. I just typed in David S. to search for David S. Pumpkins because I want to look at this actual news story.
And said David S. Pumpkins is my actual biological father.
And it came up David S. Pumpkins before David Spade. I just feel like that he's more popular right now than David Spade.
Yeah, Spade's doing all right for himself, buddy. You watch yourself.
Okay, no, I see. I get it.
Look, I know you hate David Spade, but you didn't bring that on the pod.
No, I love the little animated look at these, like the little
skeleton,
chubby man. Skeleton and the big one, and then David's doing the like finger guns sideways. I think it's so fun. I subscribe to my classic thing. It's just like, make it good. You're gonna have, you know, solid voice acting. It's gonna be a ridiculous little story. Is it geared more? I'm gonna read more into this. Is it geared more towards kids? Chids?
Definitely chids. Don't know about kids. I think it's just the SNL audience. I don't know. I like what they did with animation, like TV Funhouse and stuff. But
the special guest star, Peter Dinklage. I hope they don't make him the kid. That would be offensive to his height. That's hilarious. I'm so excited. Yeah, Mikey Day and Bobby Moynihan still in it. And classic Tom Hanks is going to be in it. Oh my gosh, I'm excited for that. I actually heard this news story on the radio before you said this news story, and so I was already real, real, real excited.
Yeah, you seem extremely excited.
It's fun. It's so fun.
I think it's fun, too. I'm hesitant. I don't want to get my feelings hurt, so I let my expectations go very low, and if it's funny, then I'm surprised and delighted.
Yeah, same character, but it's not going to be the same joke, like you said. Right. It's not the
different
same
joke
scenario, so why is it going to be funny? It's not going to be funny in the same way, but hopefully they make it new funnies, and I'm excited for that.
That's a very optimistic approach. I respect your opinion. Ben, not only are we talking about an institution that we trust called David S. Pumpkins, but we're talking about the institution that built that institution, and that is Saturday Night Live.
The acronym.
Yeah, SNL.
Yeah, you're right. My Google Docs just crashed.
Oh.
So I just wanted you to know that.
Oh, well, that's strange, because normally you just make up some kind of history totally improvised,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
You're just like, hey, everyone, I don't know if you know this, but Saturday Night Live was a show that came out one time, and there's a guy named Lauren, and he was like, hey, I want to make a show. And they were like, no, you can't do it. And he's like, I'll fight you. And you're like, ah, oh, okay. And then, little do you know, we had Celebrity Jeopardy every night of the week for the last 40 years.
Yeah. Is that what I sound like?
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty spot on impression.
Excellent. Well, before we get to that, just kidding. Okay, so yeah, we are talking about SNL. Good stuff.
Yeah.
You peeled back the curtain. It's mostly improv on this show, but just kidding. There's a script. And now I'm going to read from that script. Here's a little brief history on the classic NBC television show SNL. In 1975, a man named Lorne Michaels assembled a team of highly talented comedic performers that would be part of a new live sketch show. Lorne had an idea to create a show that encompassed all the things he was most passionate about: movies, music, politics, and comedy. With his previous work writing for Lily Tomlin, Phyllis Diller, and the variety sketch show Rowan and Martin's Laughing, which is pretty popular back in the day.
It's like an old classic variety show.
Yeah.
Like SNL status.
It's like SNL season zero.
Yeah.
Michaels was more than capable to usher in the next era of live comedy. All through the 60s, NBC would air reruns of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson on the weekend under the title The Saturday Tonight Show. But on October 11th, 1975, instead of The Saturday Tonight Show, host George Carlin. Host George Carlin walked out to the Studio 8H audience and delivered the very first opening monologue for Saturday Night Live, the television show.
It's Saturday Night Live! I'm going to do that three more times this episode. Everyone count three more times.
Was that one?
No.
Three more times.
Three more. Okay. Not counting the two I've done
five
already.
Five total. Got it.
Everyone gets five.
Tally it up.
NBC actually didn't get the name Saturday Night Live until a few years later. It originally was NBC's Saturday Night, because ABC had a Saturday Night Live at the time. Isn't that crazy?
So that's why the intro is always live from New York. It's Saturday Night.
Yes. It's NBC's Saturday Night. It's Saturday Night Live.
What? It's live? Yeah. Come on.
So
that's why in every intro it's Saturday Night.
It's Saturday Night.
with Fred Armisen. Will Ferrell.
It's just like a high pitched ghost. That's how I do my dumb.
It's a high pitched ghost.
That's how I do my dumb farto.
No, it's a radio host ghost.
Yeah.
And we're back here in the radio.
That's good. That's
some
good.
Traffic downtown.
He's so spooky.
Tip your waitresses.
He is spooky. You're so right.
Okay, so why is Saturday Night Funny? Do you know?
I do know, Ben. And
educate the pod.
This is a big, big topic that we got to wrap our brains around. So I really want us to understand that this is a huge, huge topic. And there's so many different eras, seasons, casts that have uniquely graced the television airwaves with their talent. I mean, you know just as well as I do. We already talked about a Celebrity Jeopardy. You know, talk about Chris Farley, Man Down by the River. You can talk about the Sweaty Balls. You can talk about
Pumpkins.
Candy Graham, David S. Pumpkins. That was just last year. These things just span our like American comedic history.
Gumby, Buckwheat.
Everything. And rather than spend time on these little things, because, you know, let's do a million more episodes of SNL. Why is Eddie Murphy on SNL funny? Why is the 80s in SNL funny? Why is, you know, Wayne's World funny? But rather we get into, you know, digital shorts or whatever, I think it's important to recognize what's going on at the core of this show. Innovation through desperation. Now, they're not like all desperate all the time, but what I mean is like here's a show that is bound by time in two very specific ways. One, the show is live, and two, for a majority of the season, the staff only has a week between shows to put together the next live show. So a live 90 minutes is separated by 10,000 minutes to create a whole new live 90 minutes. That's crazy. I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah, that's a turnaround that nobody else does.
I mean, there's some documentaries that have done a good job. James Franco actually made a really cool documentary back in 2004, like documenting his time as a host, and it's bananas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like these people are thanks, Fergie. No, that's Gwen. Sorry.
Yeah. Wow. How would you insult Gwen like that?
I know, but it's just so intense, and these people are just cranking out ideas, and things get cut. They cut so much of their stuff, like 50% or more of all their stuff that they start out from the beginning of the week, and they got to keep up with politics, they got to keep up with sports, movies, you know, award season comes around, Christmas time comes around, they got to capitalize on that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And Saturday Night Live has been the comedic heartbeat for decades because it can think on its feet and deliver red hot comedy in the freshest medium possible. This show consistently pushes itself to be better than the week before, the year before, the decade before, and provide the audience with quality content that challenges our political climate, social hierarchies, and human nature. SNL brings a unique flair of live comedy, bridging traditional television with progressive and edgy comedy.
So crazy.
It's insane. This thing is like I, you know, when we first started like talking like, oh, like let's do an episode about Saturday Night Live. Like I was excited because I love the show. And then the more I dug into it, the more I was like, yeah, like I'm obsessed with how this thing is so
ticks, yeah,
everywhere. And it's, yeah, how it works on the inside, but also how it bleeds through our culture.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the biggest topics that we've been talking about on this show is how successful Alec Baldwin's Donald Trump impression is. That's Saturday Night Live every week, baby. Yeah. They're on top of it. Lauren gets on the phone. Get me Alec Baldwin. I want to get him to do an impression. So he gets Alec Baldwin, and that works out. Lauren's got the number of every big name in the world to come and do a cameo, and he just utilizes that show so well.
Yeah.
So it just blows my mind that this is, you know, they just had their 40th. Yeah, 40th. And, you know, just a huge, huge cast of people to show up on that show. And I was kind of surprised they did that big of a thing for 40, because I feel like can you just wait like for 10 more years and like really go wild for 50?
Who knows where Lauren will be?
That's a good point. I think he's like only 60 or 70. He seems very spry.
Yeah, but 60 or 70 is going to be...
That's true. It's how 10 much
years
longer,
older.
How much longer you
could
want to
be
do
80.
This.
Like, that's nuts.
Yeah, there was an interview with him where he He even said, like, well,
I'm tired.
Yeah, he said, you keep doing it until you, despite your better judgment, keep going past a point of people saying you're not doing a good job, and then, like, 5 years later, you just stop. So he even recognized that, like, he could be losing touch, and when he does, he'll quit, like, 5 years after that. which in my mind, I think perfectly encompasses, like, the comedic ego. Like, you just keep going because you think you can keep going, but really you should have quit while you were ahead.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm fascinated by how this show works. I'm fascinated by what this show is culturally, and also its longevity, its ability to stay, you know, relevant. Because that hasn't always been the case.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there was a huge period of time where it was so dead, and Eddie Murphy carried the show on its back.
Well, yeah, that the 81 to 82 season.
Yeah.
Where Lauren stepped away.
Yeah.
Or it might have been 80 to 81.
Well, that, I mean, I think that's even a different time period, too, but no, you're right. I think we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah. And Eddie was the only member to survive. Like, every cast member got cut.
Right.
And they was like, okay, well, that didn't work. We got to bring Lauren back. So I could see how his comedic ego would be like, this show doesn't exist without you.
Exactly. You know what
I
mean?
But I think it can. I think it's just the right person in the right role.
Yeah. Something that I think is super fascinating that the show does is take.
He's 72.
Who is?
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. The amazing thing that this show can do is take a conglomerate of individuals and then propel these individuals into superstardom. Eddie Murphy, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, Mike Myers, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Chris Farley, Adam Sandler. Like, this
William
is, yeah, William H. Ferrell. Yeah, there's so many names. This is like not even a fraction of the big names that we could just throw down right now. But the show has made such a unique thing of a group effort, like very much in the sense of, I think of like improv troops, like in a lot of ways, like this group that works together, does these shows weekly, learns from each other, knows what works best, gives the opportunity to spotlight individually to different people.
Yeah.
But then as a result, you get these mega stars. Like, Steve Martin is one of the most popular comics of all time. Guess where he was, like, getting the most TV time? Saturday Night Live. Like, Martin Short, same thing. Like, these guys that are legends were all there.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most interesting connective pieces in comedy. Even, like, we were talking about John Mulaney not too long ago. He was a writer for SNL.
Yeah.
We were talking about Conan O'Brien. He was doing writing for SNL. Like, writers even. Everyone.
Yeah, everyone has touched this massive beast.
Yeah. And that's, you know, so, I mean, like I had said earlier, there's no way that we're just going to sit here and be like, so, let's start with digital shorts. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let's just talk about how this works as a cultural phenomenon, right? So, this is a live TV show. Which was, at the time, not super uncommon.
Right.
Right. You know, you had things like the Lawrence Welk show. You had the Dean Martin show. Things that were recorded in front of a live audience. So you get the live, whatever, blah, 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 clapping and stuff. Which you end up getting in sitcoms, you know, filmed in front of a live studio audience. But that whole aspect of, like, this whole show is nonstop, live. That's typically just reserved for, like, the Tonight Show, Carson era. Or, like, even nowadays, we only see that with, like, Fallon or Colbert. But I'm pretty sure even they splice it up in unique ways. I mean, we've seen Conan a couple times, and it basically is the show. Like, I haven't seen them, like, cut and redo anything.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, in post, you can always say, oh, we'll ditch that segment or whatever. But it's the live aspect of Saturday Night Live. Like, this is actually happening right now. Is so unique this day and age. But it was something more common back in the 60s and 50s.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just, that's so, such a unique thing. Like, no one does that anymore.
Yeah, no. I mean, so I'm pretty sure Carol Burnett's show ran simultaneous and was during.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, even, like that's the closest thing I can think to something that is in the same category as this, because everything else you've mentioned is like a variety show, which is not really like
right. I just meant from medium, so live in front of an audience.
Sure, yeah, yeah. But sketch show, like she falls into that category, but she wasn't before.
Right,
I don't think unless my numbers aren't crunched. But yeah, it's just it's nuts that they said, okay, we're gonna make everyone laugh by doing sketches. Now, these aren't going to be sketches that we are going to work on over a long period of time. Everything has to happen in a week because we want to be as relevant as humanly possible.
Right.
It has to be a week. That's nuts. That's not a thing.
Yeah. And I mean, nowadays there's a lot of primetime talk shows that have to be relevant every day. And right. I think that's interesting. I mean, you look at, you know, let's say Colbert, let's say Daily Show, Trevor Noah, you'll have, you know, a 60-minute show, 45-minute show with 20% host written jokes, comment, sketches, and then maybe like a, you know, a video thrown in there or like an off-camera thing that they pre-recorded, and then they have guests on the show. Where they'll talk to, which they don't have to think to like write necessarily a whole bit about.
Yeah.
Fallon kind of takes that to the next level where he'll get like sketches or incorporate them with a game or something like that. But for the most part, Saturday Night Live still has the capital on new content that needs to be cranked out every single week.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, 90 minutes. And granted, you have a musical host, but you also have the guest host who has to write a thing for opening monologue, and then you have to fill all the other time with content that's fresh and accessible. So I just, yeah, that's, it's one of the most difficult things, but at the same time, it almost, like I kind of said, it's innovation through desperation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You are more able to succeed because you're in a backed up against a corner. Okay, we have a limited amount of time and it has to be relevant for this week. Okay, what has to do, for instance, just recently, Anthony Scaramucci, White House press secretary for literally 10 days.
Yeah.
You know, SNL's getting so ready to write the cold open for their opening season for this, and then all of a sudden 10 days later fired. Throw all those jokes out the window. Those aren't going to work for our opener. We're done with that.
It's crazy.
So their ability just to crank out these jokes and the writing staff and, you know, even the performers write so much.
Yeah, I know. That's the other crazy thing. You are a star on this show. Like you're the face of the show. Now you have to go write all these sketches. I don't think that's also very common. Like, I don't think, you know, like Jack Shepard is writing for Lost.
No, that would be very uncommon.
So yeah, that's just the craziest thing. It's like, okay, you guys are the funny people. We need your, you know, input. You guys are going to be writing all this stuff, so your perspective and take is all on it. It's such a, yeah, it's just a weird animal.
Yeah, and
is amazing.
And you know, I was thinking a lot about like, well, okay, there's still sketch shows that exist, you know, but they're not live. Like think of Key and Peele. That's a sketch show.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of do like a live thing where they like talk to their audience a little bit, but like in between videos.
Right.
And that to me, I mean, I love Key and Peele, but there's, like you just said, it's a totally different animal when you're a straight up live 90 minutes. And at the end of the sketch, the audience claps, the camera zooms out, and you see the little box set in Studio 8H of the cast sitting at a table at a diner. Like, oh, wow, this audience is wrapped around them. And when it's not getting a laugh, it's not getting a laugh.
Right.
And that's the craziest thing for me. Because there's even sometimes where I'll watch the show and I'm laughing at the things that aren't getting the studio laugh.
Yeah.
So whereas like in sitcoms where the canned laughter, just like fake or prompted laughter, is supposed to be like exactly when there's a joke, sometimes there's a joke and it's not like everyone in the audience at the time is on board for that, which is just crazy to me.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's really unique, and it's one of the things that has stuck that I also think is so unique to this show is the guest host. Here you get a guy or girl or sometimes character mm-hmm. to come in and basically take the show for the week. Could you imagine, like, I mean, they, in my mind, it's kind of what Johnny Carson kind of would do, where he would have guest hosts of The Tonight Show.
Yeah. Different, but yeah.
It's different, but in the same way, like, no other shows are doing that, right? Like, so where else do you get that idea? Oh, every week, let's have a host.
But the crazy thing is, like, you know, Johnny Carson is going to hand his show off to Jay Leno or somebody very capable,
right,
rather than, like, Eli Manning.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're going to come host this show. It's like, you're a football star. You might, like, be a kind of funny guy, but you're a football star. Like, what do you, like, they're just going to take you and integrate right. you. Like, that's so
well, and that's
not
the funny thing. They,
a thing.
They said, I mean, you can get these stars. I mean, like I said, Lorne knows everybody.
Yeah.
And they know who's popular right now, and they know what's selling in the box office, and they know who's watching what on TV. Let's get Johnny Depp. Let's get the season opener, Kumail Nanjiani, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big, sick, pretty popular comedian. Let's get him. He's hosting. Actually, he's not hosting the opener, but he's going to be hosting later.
Sure, sure, sure.
Anyways, so they get these hosts, but then they have to incorporate it in every aspect. Like, are there hosts that they turn away? Are there hosts that they're like, let's get, like you said, let's get a LeBron James, and we work with him for 3 days, and we realize this is going nowhere?
I don't know. That's an interesting thing. I don't think so.
Would they,
I think they commit once they commit.
Yeah. And, I mean, there certainly are some hosts that just don't land. I mean, for instance, George Carlin talked about his first time. He didn't want to be in any of the sketches. He just wanted to do multiple stand-up acts because he didn't feel comfortable working with people. That's just not what his
right.
like, medium is. So it wasn't until, like, maybe 10 years later he hosted again, and he did all the sketches, and he's like, I felt so much more comfortable. They did a really good job, like, writing, like, with me, for me, and making me feel a part of the team.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's exactly one of the best parts of SNL is taking these hosts, like you said, you know, Peyton Manning or Charles Barkley.
Right, yeah.
Like, Charles freaking Barkley.
Yeah.
Like, getting him to be in a sketch, this huge 7-foot-tall dude.
He's not 7 foot tall.
He's pretty tall. I don't know tall in numbers, but I know how tall he is, all right? He's 7'0". And, like, next to Rachel Dratch, he's literally 3 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that for a fact.
Yeah, yeah, she's definitely 3 feet tall.
Yeah. I know numbers. And just to see how they utilize, like, him is just so great. Because he's not a comedy. He's not a comedy
I know.
Genius.
That's what is so good, too. And I think they know. They know that, you know, like, someone like Jon Hamm is going to come in and be able to bring his own comedic chops. But they also know, okay, Charles Barkley, what's going to be funny is the situations we put him in. So let's put him
right.
in a dress or something. And that is where they get a lot of their laughter versus, like, Jon Hamm. Like, okay, you can play a funny part. Let's put you in a bit that's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Something else that's interesting about the style of comedy of SNL, because certainly it changes from year to year with the cast and whatever genre.
Right, that's yeah. Keep going on that. But I also want to talk about, like, just the malleability of the cast.
Oh,
that's
yeah
amazing.
they can do so many different things, but what's interesting to me is the types of comedy that was going on in the 80s. You know, there's a lot of things that aren't so far off from how they're writing their jokes and doing Weekend Update the mm-hmm. same way now,
right?
And it's still funny, still relevant, still appeasing format, but still there's people who go, well, actually the best cast, you cannot compete with Steve Martin. I mean, Steve Martin, Martin Short, like, those guys, like, they rule. They're like, no, man, you're wrong. Like, Sandler, Farley, Carvey, like, they were the kings. Like, no, you're all wrong. I'm talking Fallon. I'm talking Farrell. I'm talking Faye. Like, those
right.
guys were the top dogs. But Lorne Michaels himself says, people typically only think that the best cast was when they were in high school.
Absolutely.
And it's 100% true.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so true. And every person you talk to, like, even if they're like, oh, yeah, I love SNL, like, this season, like, I love this season. I love this last couple seasons of SNL. Yeah. I love Kate McKinnon. But 100%, the best cast is Fred Armisen and Amy Poehler and Andy Samberg. Yeah. Like, digital shorts, like, coming up. Like, that was the best. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if I could pick, to be honest.
Well, for sure. I mean, that's the thing. It's because it has so much longevity, and also because there's such a variety in the shifting of casts. People, it's a nostalgic thing.
Yeah, yeah.
People fall in love with their era. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially their language.
Yeah.
So the show provides a unique, universal language for the nation that not a lot of other shows have.
Right.
I mean, we talked about how Seinfeld definitely infiltrated the modern lexicon. But, I mean, you say dick in a box anywhere. Right. You know what I'm talking about, homie.
Yeah.
I say...
Or even just step one.
Yeah, step one.
Everyone goes, cradle man, in a box. Man, like,
or even further, you say... I got a fever.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, cowbell!
A prescription, cowbell!
Exactly. And if you're from, you know, the 70s, and I say, if I knock on the door and go, Candy Graham, you know it's, you know,
yeah, yeah.
It's the shark at the door. Land shark. That's a classic bit.
Absolutely.
So funny to me.
Or even, like, the even deeper cut, like, was Jim Belushi's samurai? He's like a samurai.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Office samurai.
Oh, no, wait, what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the one where it's like a deli, and the only thing they have is cheeseburgers, but this guy's like trying to order, like, I'd like a side salad. He's like, we have any salad? Chibaga. It's just the weirdest thing.
Yeah, and he just chops things up with his sword.
Chibaga. But yeah, like, everyone loves their own era, but what I think is so unique is just how this show has developed and changed based on who is... on the cast and running it. You know
think
what I mean?
It's in the cast?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
they play to what they're good
at. It's a total mixture of cast and writers, right?
So that's true.
I think a lot of, like, early 90s, like, Sandler stuff, like, there was a lot that had to do with David Spade and, like, I can't remember the name of the guy, but there's another writer who was, like, not a cast member, but a writer. Mm-hmm. And he, like, really shaped the show. But even Adam Sandler. So up to that point, they had never had a Weekend Update guest come on as himself.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, hey, I'm Adam Sandler. And that's what he did. He was like, I want to go on there and just play a song on my guitar. Like, hey, yeah. I'm Adam Sandler and I just have this song for Hanukkah or something like that.
Yeah.
And that really was like, Lorne Michaels was like, no, that's not funny. Like,
it's not going
to
work.
Like, he, yeah. Like, not that he's averse to change, but like, that's just a tough call. Like, what? You're going to go on there as yourself? Like, wait a minute. Why? Like, just do a character. And I just love that it's part of the show, that it progresses as new people come on with new ideas. Digital shorts wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, and even talking about that, like, Lorne, the talent they seek, they really go after. Like, Lonely Island...
Well,
Kiva,
they come to you too because it's so prestigious now.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, they go find the talent. They get like the best of the best. Kiva, Jorma, and Andy were making videos like Lonely Island, and Lorne recognizes that and goes, "We need that element, mm-hmm. this new wave." And legitimately, they were able to ride the wave of success on YouTube before like anybody else, because they were able to capitalize right then and there. And I feel like that's exactly what you're talking about. I don't know if it's the fact that Lorne can pick the cast or the cast can gel with the writers so well or whatever, but SNL time and time again will be on the heartbeat of exactly where it needs to be comedically not every single time, because for instance there are many years and seasons where it's like, oh, this is a slow season.
Sure.
It's kind of like your favorite sports team.
Ebbs and flows, yeah.
Saturday Night Live is my favorite sports team of all time. Sometimes they don't have that good of a season, but sometimes they win the championship. You know what I mean? They come home with the gold for all my boys.
That's so good. Yeah, so, I mean, this is just like part one of, you know, a kabillion different things that we can do about
SNL.
But I love that we just like kind of laid the groundwork, right? This is foundational... why is the idea of Saturday Night Live funny?
How does it work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so from here, I think there's just so many different, like, I really feel like we could just cap off decades and do, like, you know, 75 to 85, 85 to 95.
Yeah.
And then just, like, you know, all the transitions and drama and focus a lot on the people.
The people. Do you exactly know what I mean? Because conceptually, I feel like it's difficult to wrap your mind around, but hopefully we've done a good job kind of explaining away, like, the little intricacies of how that works, and especially its place in history. Yeah. It's a really unique kind of place in history.
Maybe we can get into it a little bit. Let's say our top three, let's consider the full scope of SNL, top three sketches.
Oof.
For you and for me.
Top three sketches. Now, am I going off my opinion or what I think are the most influential in SNL?
Try and be as general as you possibly can, but it's to you.
Obviously,
it's personal.
Of course. Okay. So I'm going to go with, in my top three, no particular order, the motivational speaker.
Matt Foley.
Yes. Chris Farley. I'm going to go with...
I think you took that straight out of my number one.
I mean, I feel like that's so many. Yeah. When you think of the number ones, like, that is, I think of Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Wayne's World is up there too.
Absolutely.
I feel like that is so solid as, like, a cultural relatability bit.
Yeah.
And just, like, these two nerds in their garage and some amazing characters that they are. Like, oh God, I love those guys. And also Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah.
They've done that so freaking well. And they've turned that into a variety of different things, even like Celebrity Family Feud that Keenan hosts nowadays. Yeah. And that, to me, like, is where they thrive. Cultural, character, and comedy. Like, it's just these insane characters, just such perfect jokes. And also they can tap into things that are going on because it's like the celebrities are people who matter in the media at that point in time.
For me, I would have to say... James Brown, Too Hot for the Hot Tub.
Yeah.
The Eddie Murphy bit where he comes out as James Brown and can't even step in the hot tub because it's too hot. It's just so ridiculous. It makes zero sense, but it's, like, so funny to me.
Yeah.
And I love, like, it's him being James Brown. He's over the top, and then he points to the left and to the right, and there's just horn players just everywhere, like, like, just tight little. It's so good. And then, Matt Foley, motivational speaker, is like, it's so hard to beat that. That's really, really funny. And then I would say, okay, well, I'll let you say that one. You have said that one. I'm going to say the Welshley Arms, the hot tub.
Yeah.
The hot tub. And then.
So you got two hot tubs. Is there a third?
Oh, shoot. I didn't even realize that.
The question is, can you name a third hot tub sketch?
I don't think so. Can you? I was going to say for my number three would be Rachel Dratch's Debbie Downer.
But not so any good Debbie Downer sketch. The one with her.
The one where
Fallon
they all lose
Lindsay
it.
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Gosh, they lose it. And that's a thing, right? That's a thing that SNL has that not a lot of other shows ever have in this day and age. Breaking character. You see.
Yeah,
you
I know,
see
for sure.
All of a sudden the character.
It's live.
It's live, but then the things can happen. Mistakes we made. Lines can be fumbled. And a character just gets someone to laugh. And all those sketches we named, there are always little breaks. Like, not necessarily full, like, oh, sorry, I need to recollect myself. But just like the don't laugh in church laughs.
Yeah.
Like
I think the Californians has just the biggest plethora of, like, I love a break when it's like, it's two people talking to each other, but they're not in the same shot. It's single shots on both of them. You looking at Fred Armisen, he's like, I'm going to take the 101 to the 95. And then it cuts back to Kristen Wiig, and she has been like stifling a laugh.
So
and it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's like infectious.
Exactly. And I think that's a unique thing that really speaks to, like, us as an audience is when we realize, like, no, this is funny. We recognize this is funny, and so do they. like they are trying so hard not to laugh because of how silly this moment is.
Yeah.
And it makes it almost more enjoyable because I think it wouldn't be funny if every episode they just broke out laughing like, I'm sorry. I'm doing right. something called breaking.
Yeah.
Like, but just those little glimpses that are so organic and genuine really, really capture what this show does for
us. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty unique that this show is just like has the ability to satirize everything.
Yeah.
No one is safe
and no one will ever be safe as long as the show is on the air.
I wanted to talk about, but I think we can save it for like early 2000s episode. I wanted to talk about when 9/11 happened and the show went on after and how it was just a very powerful, palpable moment. Everyone needs laughter and we're just gonna go, like if we don't go, kind of like terrorists win.
Exactly.
So I just think that that's at the core of the show.
Yeah, at the core, like I said, they are the cultural heartbeat of America.
Yeah.
I don't think that's crazy to say. I don't think that's necessarily even like a huge, like, you know, cross to bear or compliment necessarily, but it's just true. Like, everything SNL does is a reflection of what's going on in modern American pop culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe sometimes they're not capitalizing on every part of American culture because there's a lot of different aspects of it, but they definitely know what is the big topics.
Yeah. But that's what we got for SNL. We've blown our time, but it's just because this topic is just the best.
We could go on forever.
And yeah, there's so much. It's like saturated with so much. And we will do more. We promise.
Yeah, there's going to be. Will why is SNL digital shorts funny? Why is SNL presidential impersonations funny?
Yeah.
Why is SNL fights behind scenes funny?
Excellent. You talking about Chevy?
Yeah, he got punched.
Yeah. He's banned from hosting.
Really?
Yeah, after 1997, they banned him from hosting. Will Ferrell said, "He is the worst." Quote.
That's so interesting.
Isn't that interesting? He's banned. Like that. I don't know anyone that's banned from participating.
George Carlin said he wasn't invited when they did like the 30th. Well,
yeah, like I think there's people that's like, oh, we're just not going to ask him. But I'm sure like if he came out with like a big comedy movie or something, I'd be okay, maybe we have to.
That's interesting.
But he's banned. He can't. He's blacklisted.
Chevy's blacklisted.
That's awesome.
Which is so interesting. There's so much that goes into that.
And since I said blacklisted, then you know what that means.
You got cheesy blasters.
Sorry, I was just trying to nail the transition. So you know what that means. It's time for Ben's Wacky Facts. This is the part of the show where I say some wacky facts, and then the critics from Wacky Tomatoes give a corresponding percentage rating based on its overall wackiness. RJ, are you ready for this fun SNL phantasmic time?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. Here is wacky fact number one. It's just some celebrities that were almost cast members. You ready for this list?
Oh, yeah, wow. This is insane.
Close as it gets.
Okay.
Jim Carrey.
Whoa.
John Goodman.
Whoa.
Who hosted like
a bajillion times.
Yeah, Goodman's
dozen. He's like in the top five. Goodman's dozen.
Catherine O'Hara.
Oh.
Paul Rubens.
Wow.
Gina Davis.
Oh.
Lisa Kudrow.
Really?
Jenny Aniston.
I don't know who that is.
And Dane Cook.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, not Jenny. Jennifer.
Dane Cook?
Yeah. What? Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Wow. There's another name on this list that I don't even know. Robert Townsend. Do you know who that is?
No, but I could throw Steve Carell on that list too.
Yeah. He auditioned with his wife and his wife got it and he didn't.
Steve Carell?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. His wife was on the cast.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, well, and that's funny. You know who got the spot instead of Steve Carell? We said this before.
William
H. Macy. No.
Really?
No, it's Will Ferrell.
Stupid. I don't know why that really hurt
that really
me.
Got you good.
What's the percentage?
Yeah, that's super wacky, and the critics responded positively with a plus 92% wacky. They said, you forgot Steve Carell. He and his wife auditioned. His wife got it. But we mentioned that, so
nice.
That's great.
Yeah, we got that in. Okay, here is wacky fact number two. Steve Martin is the only person to host a season premiere, a season finale, and a Christmas show. And he's the only person to host the show three times in a single season. And contrary to popular belief, he was never a cast member.
I know.
That's nuts. Do you know that? Because you kind of said in the podcast.
Like, I did. And I did mention Steve Martin, but that's only because of how much success he's been able to have on that show.
So connected to the show. He's a part of the show, never a cast member, which is nuts.
And he's like really close friends with Lorne Michaels.
Yes, Mr. Michaels.
Mr. Michaels.
Pretty nuts.
That's very nuts. A mixed bag of nuts, some would say.
Yeah.
But only the critics get to say what percentage of those nuts are wacky, and they give that fact a 95.
Oh, I thought they gave it a whoa.
They gave it a whoa. That's not a number. 95%. And they said, didn't you know that Steve Martin wasn't on the cast?
That's part of the fact.
I know what they said, that he wasn't a part of the cast.
Oh, okay, nice. They're just adding their 2 cents.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm up 2%. Okay, here's last number fact, number three. The Will Ferrell became the highest paid cast member in Saturday Night Live.
Okay, bye.
Saturday Night Live history in 2001 when he received a salary of $350,000.
What? On SNL?
For the 2001 to 2002 season.
You can make that money there?
Yeah, if you're Will Ferrell.
That's nuts.
Making cell phone calls on tiny cell phones.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember that sketch?
He's getting paid more than most doctors. Just because he's doing a Robert Goulet impression every week. That's so awesome.
Pretty good.
That's wacky for sure.
I don't know why the site that I got this, they added in like a little parentheses. It says he received a salary of $350,000. $105,000 in 1975 prices. Okay.
I think it's a virus.
Yeah. Why you had that?
It's a virus from the 90s. Don't click on it.
Yeah. It's a hyperlink.
That's pretty wacky. I guess it'd be more interesting. Do we know what the average price is for a cast member?
No.
Like if it's like 50K, then like, yeah, that's really crazy. Right. But if it's like, yeah, most cast members get about $280,000.
Still, that's pretty high.
I know. But he's only $20,000 higher than $280,000.
$350,000.
Oh, $350,000. Yeah, you're right. That's much higher. I'm not good at math. I forgot the number.
Yeah, you did.
That's crazy. Pretty and wacky. Nuts. And the critics agree. Uh-oh. Woo. Psych, not that low. 90% wacky.
What?
That's great, man.
All right. Those are the wacky facts that I own. Do you have any?
Let me think of a good one.
You don't have to think of a good one. You know what that means. It's time for our hashtag whale mail of the week.
Thinking of a fact, but I could read an email instead.
Okay, nice song.
Thanks. Yeah, I can't think of a good fact. I feel like I've said everything that I could think of on this show.
Yeah, you do that. Afterwards, you're just like mush.
I know. Anyways, this is the whale mail of the week, and this week's whale mail reads, "Hey guys, not a question about comedy, but just a personal question. How old are you guys?" No signature either. They didn't want us to know who was asking.
Anonymous.
Anon.
That's different.
Well, personally, if you saw a picture of me, I would say somewhere between 50 and 34.
You would? You'd say that?
Yeah, 15 and 34.
Oh, 15.
What did I say?
50.
Oh, gosh, no. I'm not that old. I could either be a teenager, or if I'm wearing a suit, people might be like,
"Oh, is that a Puerto Rican manager of a Sears?" 35 not bad. Old gentleman?
Exactly. No, I don't want to say my age. I feel like you're going to judge me now.
I'm 27.
I'm 25.
There you go. That was easy.
Case closed, America.
Thanks, Anonymous. The group of cyber hackers.
Exactly.
That's what I'm guessing this is.
Thanks, WikiLeaks. Now you know.
WikiLeaks.
Now you know who we are for reals. Next time,
ask us.
That's
just such a terrible name for a website. It sounds so pathetic. I heard it from WikiLeaks.
So these guys on WikiLeaks, they were like, "Oh, these guys are 25. No, they're not. They're secretly 15. WikiLeaks. I just feel like it's just like such a loser name. Like not even just like a silly name. Just like, so you can't take it seriously. Like, we've recently discovered cyber hacking due to the presidential affairs in WikiLeaks.
I'm sorry, did you say weekly leaks? No. Weeky.
Did you say weepy?
Are you saying weepy? Weepy leaks like the food. That's so good. Okay, well, thank you, Anonymous. If you want to email in again and just tell us your name,
that's it.
That'd be good, I guess.
That's the only criteria for an email. We'll read that.
But RJ, if somebody else wanted to email in anonymously, where would you send them?
Anonymously. You can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or, of course, Stitcher. Also, Patreon, folks, if you want more content, you go there, give us a buck, see what happens. It's kind of like a jukebox, except this jukebox gives you something that you didn't expect. Be sure to check out our Twitter page, at WhalePod, our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? We post stuff every single week. Follow us, send us messages on there too. Same thing, we can read it, I guess, if you want. I don't know. No, we'll just do it. We'll do whatever we want. Also, don't forget to email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. It's the email address that you send email to and ask us personal questions about our family life and our relationships with our dads. We'll answer it. It's fine.
Dads.
Yeah, I don't know. Moms too.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not sexist. Anyways, so that's our email. You know where to find us.
You always say folks, and it always reminds me of the Dimitri Martin bit. Have you heard that? When he's like, folks is such a positive word. You don't hear anyone using folks in a negative term. Like, those damn folks. I love that so much.
Get those folks off my lawn.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's so good. Okay, well, if you want to follow RJ on the Twitterverse and hear funny jokes like folks, you follow him at Rodolfo the Brown.
And if you want to find Ben on the Twitterverse, you can find him at Earpiece for a Child in Need.
We got to thank Ben Sound for our intro music, the Wolfpack for our outro music that you're currently listening to. Why don't you go over and check out their new album when it comes out on October 7th?
10 indie bangers straight to your ears.
Yes. And then also we have to thank you, the listener, for tuning in every week. We appreciate your ears. Have a happy Wednesday, and we're going to leave you with what we always leave you with.
Unless, of course, you're not listening on Wednesday, in which case, whatever day of the week it is, have a happy that day.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, comedy is all about...
Timing?
Robert Goulet, Townsend. Have a good day. Yeah.
I think you said timing.